Everyone, and welcome to our service today. My name is Gillian and I'm the Minister of the Scots Kirk in Lausanne. So wherever you are joining from, whether you're here in person or online in some way or another, it is really good to be with you. I've sent those on the mailing list a copy of today's psalm and the words for the hymns. Although we can't sing in church, you can of course sing as loud and as much as you like at home. If you haven't managed to get a hold of the psalm, you just have time to grab a Bible. Today, the version we're using is the New International Version, and our psalm is 116. Please join in at the second and every alternate verse. Let's worship God. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice, he heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful servants. Truly, I am your servant, Lord. I serve you just as my mother did. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Amen. Our first hymn today is number 510 in the hymn book. Jesus calls us here to meet him. And here in the church, we are only be using three verses, verses 1, 2 and 3. And it's another hymn from the stable of the Iona community. There seems to be a theme emerging here. It's one that emphasises the fact that there are no conditions to the welcome that God offers to us. The words are set to a folk melody from the Western Isles of Scotland. now a word to the children. I've been thinking in these last few difficult weeks about all the people who've helped us and kept us safe. Can you think of any? Can you make a list, maybe, of all the people that we have needed while we've had to be mostly at home and not going to work and school as usual? At home, I'm hoping you might be able to do that, and I've sent you some things to colour and a sheet of other things to do. I wonder if you can remember how many disciples Jesus called. Well, when he did call his disciples, he sent them all out to do lots of different things. He knew what they were good at, and he even knew the things that they weren't good at. And I'm sure that they were worried that they couldn't do the things he was asking. But remember, a couple of weeks ago we talked about the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And so it's with the help of that Spirit that the disciples were able to do amazing things, things they didn't think they could do. There must be lots of things that you worry about that you're not going to be able to do. Have a go at writing down some of those things too. Here in the church, we have lots of jobs for people to do. I wonder if you can make a list of all the things that need doing in a church. What would we do if no one helped? Who would look after the building? Who would do the prayers and the readings? Who would look after those who were sick? Who would count the money? Who would be there to welcome people at the door? Who would bring the flowers? Can you think of any other jobs? And I wonder, are all these jobs for the grown-ups, or are there things that you, as children, can do to help? You know, Jesus has a job for absolutely everyone. What do you think your job might be? Write down the things that you think that you are good at. So let's come to a prayer. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, you call us to follow in your footsteps, to live a life of love by serving our neighbours, by being kind, by being generous, by welcoming people, by forgiving those who hurt us. You did this when you lived on the earth. You've shown us by your example, and now you ask us to do the same. It's hard, Lord, but we promise to try. So help us, Lord Jesus, to be more like you. And now we're going to say together the Lord's Prayer, and you can say it in any language or in any form that comes most naturally to you. Let's pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our second hymn, number 522 in the book, is on the same kind of theme, and it reminds us that the church is not a building but a people, and all are welcome. There is a job for everyone. The hymn was written by Carol Rose Ekeler, who was one of the first women ministers in the Presbyterian Church of the USA, and it's set to an Irish-American tune called The Bard of Armagh. Our readings today are read for us by Lindsay McTeague.
The first reading comes from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. Listen now for the word of God to you. Peace and hope. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The second reading is from Matthew chapter 9. The workers are few. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus; and Thaddeus, Simon the zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God.
Let's come to God now in a prayer of confession. Let us pray. Discipling God, we are made in your image and called to follow your Son, Jesus, the risen Christ. We are to be like him in every way, even unto death. And so, Lord, we need your help in these strange days. Our gatherings are very different, apart and yet united by our love for you. Even today, the harvest is large, many people seeking to find you amid this global pandemic and the fears and anxieties that it holds for each one of us. We are discovering new ways to engage with people, and we're grateful for the wonder of technology that allows us to reach out to people in our communities and beyond. Forgive us, Lord, when we fail you, when we choose our own way instead of yours. Forgive us, Lord, for our frailties. Help us move forward, determined to be more like the people that you created us to be, using our gifts and talents for the work of your kingdom here and now. Lord Jesus, you have shown us the way to live, the way to behave. Help us to want to be more like you. For we offer all these our prayers in your name and for your sake. Amen. Ian Crichton Smith is a favourite of mine, and his poem is entitled Art. Art is decided by those who are not creative. Religion is decided by those who are not loving. Health is decided by those who are not healthy. I think that a nightingale doesn't know why it is singing, nor does the rock consider the sharpness of its eaves. Those who don't know what they do embroider most brightly. The constant invisible churches where the music is most sweet. This week I've found myself utterly frustrated by some of the posts on the Church of Scotland's Ministers Forum. I rarely contribute and only occasionally read and inwardly digest what is there, so why was I frustrated? Well, perhaps because I'm a bit less interested in church politics than I ought to be, and perhaps because there was very little on there that could be described as loving, and even less that looks like compassionate concern for each other, recognising that we are all less than perfect. In fact, the one-upmanship of the last few months has been something that I've found particularly unsavoury. Of course, not everyone is behaving like this, but as you know, the voices that are loudest and probably the least supportive are the ones that we tend to hear. Looking at our text from Romans, not much of God's love seems to have been poured into some of these hearts. I've been reading about religion, not faith, when I've been looking at these comments on the forum. Those unloving voices are in the minority, but they often drown out the more moderate majority who prefer to simply get on with the job. And so today I want to concentrate on just that, the job. What is the job of ministry? Now, when I say ministry, I do, of course, refer to myself, but I consider myself to be here among other ministers, albeit with a particular focus to my task. So when I talk about ministries, I'm including all of you. You are also ministers, but perhaps with a different focus to your life of faith. It's for you, in conjunction with your fellow Christians, and of course, alongside the nudgings of the Holy Spirit, to try to discern what that task might be. It's not always easy, and sometimes what we end up doing doesn't seem like a good fit. It wasn't what we'd planned, or maybe even what we wanted to do or thought was our calling. Do you think for one minute that those disciples that Jesus called from their fishing nets thought that they would end up as healers, teachers, preachers, and evangelists? Do you think for one minute they were chosen because they were super righteous or super clever or super well educated? No chance. They were mostly fishermen and mostly uneducated. Jesus had the ability to see into their hearts, to see, despite all their imperfections, what their true character was capable of. He chose them for a task that anyone would have said was impossible. To disseminate the gospel throughout the known world at the time, and then, as they passed it on, to the whole world. In our reading from Matthew, we see that Jesus tells them to go first to their own locality. Not that the gospel is only for them, but they had to start somewhere, and here was where they were. Only afterwards were they to spread out into the rest of the known world at that time. As ministers, as evangelists, as preachers, teachers, healers, pastors, we begin where we are. I'm not a huge fan of emphasising our status as sinners. Perhaps growing up in the 1950s and 60s in a somewhat conservative rural Scotland turned me more naturally towards the supportive side and the more positive side of the gospel, which was often missed out in preference to the judgmental message. Conversion by fear was never something that rung true with my reading and understanding of Christ's gospel of love. But in our text from Romans, we are reminded today that we are certainly not perfect. We are all sinners, all imperfect in one way or another, all with our self-preservation streaks and our idiosyncrasies that can make us difficult to live with at times. The saving grace for me is that we're all together in this. We all need to take a step back from time to time and look critically at who we are, how we treat others, what motivates us, and what those things are that need some real hard work in order to make us a little more Christ-like. I've spent many years training and mentoring students for different types of ministry, and I was always very worried when I had a student placement who told me that they had always wanted to be a parish minister. My question to them was invariably, why? Why would you want to be a full-time minister? I found myself somewhat reassured if they didn't know the answer. When Jesus called the disciples, do you think they knew why they just dropped everything and went? There must have been many times when they questioned their decision. They would most likely have had families to support. They certainly had jobs to do. They had lives that were put on hold for 3 long years. And then at the end of that, look what happened. It was hardly an excellent career move for any of them. Can you imagine the disruption to their families and their livelihoods? But Jesus never calls us to do anything more than our capabilities. We're all called to something, and there is something that we can all do. There is room in Christ's body for all, regardless of age, status, or ability. As some of you know, James and I have been trying over the last few months to improve our French language skills. We don't pretend that we will become fluent speakers of the language. We only hope to be able to do the things that we need to do here without asking for the help of others. And maybe even have a conversation with those we meet from day to day. We've discovered that our confidence has grown over the months, and we're now much more able to speak up when we need to. It's all about confidence, but it's also about making mistakes and learning from them. No one can just launch themselves straight into the culture and language of another country and expect to be able to just get it right from day one. We're in a constant state of learning, and it's the same with discipleship. We can't wait until we are perfect, until we know exactly what God is calling us to do. We have to make a stab at it, whatever it is. Your calling might be something in the church, but more likely, it's something in your community. Jesus asks us to step out, not step in. Weekly worship should offer you a support to get on with the job of ministry as you live your lives, wherever you are set in the world. Coming to worship or study or prayer is how you charge your batteries for what God has called you to. None of us is the finished article. And if we spend our lives constantly looking for one more sign as to our task, then we will never find it. Trying and failing and trying again and failing or falling is how we learn. A reflection now on discipleship. Sometimes, often, we need one more sign, one more word of reassurance, one more affirmation, one more marker by which to gauge the evidence of God at work. It's not so much that we are unconvinced by the evidence all around. It's not that we doubt the presence and the leading of God, but we question our own preparedness, our own competence, our own suitability for the task that lies ahead. We know that God is faithful. The question is, are we? Are we up to the task of stepping into the unknown, ill-equipped, under-resourced, inexperienced? And if by some amazing quirk others should journey with us, can we keep our nerve, remain resolute along the way? Are we able to keep on discerning and to follow the prompts revealed? Are we able to bear the burden of those who will grumble when we cannot chart the territory, or the fear of those who see no need to change direction, or the scorn of those for whom the old ways are working just fine? Do we have the resilience it will take to weather the saboteurs, not least the doubts and fears within us that whisper that we are not fit for the journey? May the God of infinite wisdom and patience give us one more sign against all the odds that we are called to this journey now, in faith, in hope, and in love. We are called to step out with the God of mission, who maps out a new path and calls us to journey alongside, and who grounds and resources us from the depths, showing us in ancient stories the way to God's promised future, one step, one sign at a time. Let's finish with those last few stanzas of Ian Crichton Smith's poem. I think that a nightingale doesn't know why it is singing, nor does the rock consider the sharpness of its eaves. Those who don't know what they do embroider most brightly the constant invisible churches where the music is most sweet. Lay aside the doctrines, the arguments, the theological reasoning, the critical appraisals of all that we think and do. They are important, yes, and worthy of note, but not of the substance of our faith. Our task is to be guided by love in all that we do. So let's all be part of those constant invisible churches where the music is the most sweet, even if we do not know how or why we make that music. Let's not be afraid to make mistakes, and let us tolerate each other's attempts and be constructive and loving teachers and learners, discipling together wherever we are set. Amen. Thanks be to God. Prayers for the world and its people today will be delivered by Robert Kenneth.
Let us pray. In long summer evenings, when light lingers and sunsets have time to deepen from light pink to deep red, we offer you our thanks and praise. We remember and hold before you people in your world, where the fading of the light brings not only darkness, but sadness and discomfort. May they know your light. We gather and share food and laughter with friends, relatives, and those whom we love. And also, when we are content to eat alone, we offer you our thanks and praise. We remember and hold before you those who today will share meals tainted with sadness, those who through no choice of their own eat alone, those who are hungry and have little food. May they soon know joy and plenty. When we have been offered hospitality that was generous or unexpected, we have been blessed, and we offer you our thanks and praise. We remember and hold before you refugees and those who are strangers in a foreign land, those for whom exceptional warmth and hospitality would mean so much. May they know a rich welcome and ongoing support. When someone who knows us a little, but not well, remembers our names, we offer you our thanks for their care and attentiveness. We remember and hold before you those who have been forced to change names, or those who forget their names, the overseas student in a culture that feels alien, those who have been trafficked, those living with dementia. May they know liberation and freedom. And hear us as we take time to remember and hold before you all those caught up in the turmoil of our world today. The unrest, the uncertainty, illness, intolerance. Minister to all their needs, we pray. Ever creating, ever loving, ever encouraging God, we offer you our deep thanks. Use our gifts, talents, and skills in the world so that our lives may tell out your praise and, where possible, aid those whom we have remembered before you today. Hear our prayers through Jesus Christ, our loving Saviour. Amen.
And now we come to our prayer of dedication. Lord Jesus, you gave your life that we might know the full extent of God's love for all creation. Today, we offer our very selves, all that we are, all that we can be, with your help. So receive all that we offer, time, talents, and money. Take and use it all for your glory and in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Our final hymn today is number 533, Will You Come and Follow Me? This one also comes from John Bell and Graham Moll of the Iona community. I've sent you the words to three of the verses and you can choose which one you would like to sing. The melody is called Kelvin Grove, which is a lovely park in the centre of the west end of the city of Glasgow, right next to the university. So God, help us shake the dust off our feet and go into the world with a spirit of healing love. Faith, belief and discipleship are to be lived out. May we, your followers in this generation, go to meet our world with your blessing. With the example of Jesus ever before us and the energy of the Spirit driving us, and may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and evermore. Amen.